coming in as Lube. Hewitt-Dyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are underway on Flames Talk on this Monday, January 13th. With Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, my name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Patty.
Lots to get to this hour. Marty Jelena is going to join us a little bit later on as we dive in on his return to the bench with the Wranglers and some adversity for the Wranglers, plus a little bit on Rory Karens and his debut, all with Marty Jelena a little bit later on. But right now it's time for our Daily Flames Roundtable for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. And now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. Gents, on Saturday with that 2-1 win over Los Angeles, the Flames officially hit the midway mark of their season. They're 6 games above 500 at 24-14-7 through 41 games, right smack dab in the middle of this Western Conference playoff chase. So, now officially midway through the season, we can do this. Wilsey, I didn't even send you these topics, and now I feel bad about that, because I usually do, but it's been that type of day. But I'll put you on the spot, and you can defer if you want some time to think, because the second question will be, who's the biggest surprise? And the first question is, who's the midseason MVP for the Calgary Flames this year?
It's a great question. I will choose to phone a friend. You guys go first.
All right.
I'll think about
that's
it.
That's my bet. Just so you know,
that's not
Wilsey. That's not Wilsey wimping out. It's because I didn't send him the topics in advance. That's my fault. So, Vix, you go first. You did get the topics in advance.
I did get the topics in advance. And for me, it's hard to not go with the guy that leads your team in goals, leads your team in points, leads your team in power play goals, leads your team in game winning goals, has a share, albeit with one, of the lead for overtime winners. And it's Jonathan Huberdeau. And like, I struggled with this question, and I understand completely why, Wilsey, you deferred, because part of me, and maybe it's just me holding over a couple seasons of bias against Jonathan Huberdeau to a certain degree, because I come with that answer and I'm like, well, is it Huberdeau? Is it really Huberdeau for me? Can it be? But for the reasons I just laid out, leads the team in goals, points, power play goals, game winning goals. Like, you run through the stat sheet, and maybe it's just as much of an indictment of other players not stepping up or raising the level that we've seen them play in past years. But Jonathan Huberdeau has done just that, and I wouldn't say completely erased the narrative of his first 2 years with the Flames, but it's hard to deny the fact that Huberdeau has been just that much more improved, that much better for a Flames team that, again, he currently leads in goals and points, isn't on pace for 36. I didn't have 36 goal Jonathan Huberdeau on my bingo card coming into the season, but he's on pace for 36 goals and 62 points. So when you lead in all offensive categories for a team that's just on the precipice of a playoff spot, to me, it's got to be Huberdeau.
Wells, do you want to go or you want me to go?
You go ahead.
Okay.
I'll go last.
Okay.
Normally I'm first, and I take all the good options, so I'll flip it around, and you guys can have the first and second picks. I'll take the third overall.
Well,
pick.
And you can break a tie too, if you want to add on. Like, doesn't have to be three nominations. I thought about Huberdeau. I thought about Anderson. But you know what? We spent the first hour of this program talking almost exclusively about Dustin Wolf and how they use his workload into the second half of the season, how they go about that. But I still think, like, you even with the home road splits being pretty crazy far apart, I don't think the Flames are anywhere near where they are right now if Wolf hasn't given them the goaltending he's given them. And yes, a vast majority of it has been on home ice, but just so happens you play 41 of your games on home ice. So, you know, that's still a pretty big chunk of your season. And the fact that he's been able as a rookie to post a .914 save percentage, the fact that, and I know this has been made, there's been a lot made of this over the last couple of days. Team's on pace for 112 points if he's in the net the entire way. And I know that that's not a full on, that's not a full on scientific number, but playing at almost a 690% in terms of points percentage. Huberdeau's been great. Anderson's been awesome. They've had some other really good. Nazem Kadri continues to be huge. You know, Connor Zeri prior to the injury was great. But they, if there is one player that you take away from this roster that knocks them way down the standings, Wilsey, for me, it's Wolf, and he's at the top of my list as MVP.
All right. Well, those were my top two choices. So I guess I am tasked with breaking the tie. Do I go with Pat or do I go with Aaron?
Do the right thing, Wilsey.
I'm going to go with Pat.
What?
I think Jonathan
Huberdeau.
He did
it. He did the right thing.
Yeah, he's had a great season. I mean, as you guys pointed out, he leads the team in almost every offensive category. He is on an absolute heater right now. He has scored in back-to-back games. Both of those goals were on the power play. Both of those goals were game winners. And he is playing certainly his best hockey as a member of the Calgary Flames. And he would tell you he's playing the best hockey of his career right now, which says something. You know, we're talking about a guy who, in his final season with the Panthers, finished tied with Johnny Gaudreau for second in the Art Rice Trophy race with 115 points. But he feels like he's a better 200-foot player now. So Jonathan Huberdeau will be number two on my ballot. Dustin Wolf is number one, and here's why. The Flames went into the season with a lot of question marks. But for me, and I think for you guys and for a lot of people, the biggest question mark was goaltending. You lose a number one goaltender, an elite guy, at least at times, in Jacob Markstrom. And you've got Dan Vladar, who's never been a one or even a 1A or a 1B. And you've got Dustin Wolf, who's in his first full season in the league. So there should have been a question mark. But what was the biggest question mark, you could argue, has been the biggest strength of the team 41 games into the season. And the Flames have won 20 games. Dustin Wolf has won 14 of those 20 games. And I know Dan Vladar has had some more difficult starts. Looks like he's going to get another back-to-back tomorrow. He's had all of those so far this season. So this isn't a knock on Dan Vladar, but Dustin Wolf has been outstanding. He has to be one of the top three or four candidates for the Calder Trophy at this point in time. Obviously, he's been better on home ice than he has been on the road. We'll see if he can start to rectify that problem starting the second half of the season in Chicago tonight. But it's the most important position in the sport. You could argue the most important position in any sport. And Dustin Wolf, in his first season as a full-time NHLer, has been fantastic. And for me, he is the most valuable player on the Calgary Flames halfway through the season.
I won't stand for this anti-Huberto rhetoric that's going on here right now. And I get it. Dustin Wolf certainly is a candidate here. My only pushback would be your MVP has only played 54% of the time this season. 54%. If he had been in that 66 range that gets talked about, the two out of every three, I'd be more inclined to jump on the Dustin Wolf bandwagon here. But the fact that he's only played 54% and the alternative is a guy that leads your team in goals, points, and a whole lot of other offensive categories, I'm still not going to be convinced
now,
it's not Huberdeau.
Would you also say that take Huberdeau out of the lineup and not Wolf, or Wolf out of the lineup and not Huberdeau? Where are they? What's closer?
Where's Dustin Wolf if he's played 40 games? Is he still at this level? Does Dan Vladar get into a better rhythm and is able to, you know, elevate his numbers?
You can't answer a question by asking questions back at me.
Are you sure? I think I just did.
If he had played 40 games, there'd still be people complaining that he didn't play 41.
You know what? Truer words have never been said on this station.
I feel that so
deeply
in my soul. Yeah, I mean,
Huberdeau's a great choice, too. You know who was third on my ballot? This one might surprise you guys. Mackenzie Weegar.
No, I am on your page, too, actually. I had a lot of debate internally as to who the Calgary Flames' best defenseman or most important defenseman this year has been, and I think there's a real conversation between Weegar and Anderson on this front. So, Wilsey, I can completely get on board with your Weegar there.
Yeah, I mean, he has played on both sides. He has played with different partners, and I think it's safe to say that Rasmus Anderson, with Kevin Ball on his left, has had a really strong defense partner where I'm not sure you could say the same about Mackenzie Weegar. I mean, Joel Hanley's been a really good fit for him on the left side of that pairing, but Daniil Miromanov's game was certainly up and down, and that's why he's been a healthy scratch of late. So, yeah, my top three would be Weegar 3 and then Huberto 2 and then Wolf 1. But you do make some valid points. I mean, it's not like he's been a true number one goaltender. But again, what kind of swung me, fellas? The Flames have won 20 games. Dustin Wolf has won 14. Dan Vladar has won 6. I mean, that's pretty crazy if you ask me.
I mean, this is not to... like, Linus Ullmark won a Vezina trophy as part of a tandem. And I think you can still be an MVP if you're...
anybody win the heart playing 40 games?
Delivering, I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, on a shortened schedule.
Asterisks.
Asterisks.
And look, Huberto's number 2 on my list. It's been a great story. Anti-Huberto slander, that silliness.
I said rhetoric, not slander.
Or rhetoric. He's number 2 on my MVP list. He's been that good. I just think there's not a player on this roster that you take away from the roster and the Flames have similar success more than, like, I think the Flames fall furthest down the standings if you take Wolf and his performance off this roster compared to anybody else, and that's why I go him on MVP. But, you know, I think we're all kind of on the same page with what our top 3-4 are, because, yeah, Weegar Anderson would be right there for me as number 3. Huberto's 2. Wolf is 1. You've got Huberto 1. Both have been really good stories this year. Okay, guys. Wilsey, Vickers, Steinberg, Daily Flames Roundtable. Who's been the biggest surprise, or what has been the biggest surprise midway through the season?
Good surprise or bad surprise, or either one?
Either one.
I think the biggest surprise for me, well, there's 2, and they're not good surprises, but we're only halfway through the season, so there's still plenty of time for one or both of these guys to turn their seasons around. But Yegor Sharangovich, who led the team in goals and finished 2nd in points last season, and was just a fantastic 200-foot player for the Flames, you know, he's really struggled to find his game offensively this year. So that's been a huge surprise for me. I guess you could try to explain it or start to explain it with him getting injured in the preseason finale and missing the first 7 games of the season and trying to play catch up. But hey, we're now halfway through the season, and I do think his game's been trending in the right direction. And as Ryan Huska told us earlier this week, if he gets 1 goal, they might start to come in bunches. But the fact that he's struggled as much as he has offensively is a surprise to me. And then the other guy is Andrei Kuzmenko. I mean, we're talking about a guy who scored, 39 in his first season, and he had 22 or 23 last season. Either way, 2-time 20, 1-time 30 goal scorer, and he has 1 goal this season and is on pace for 2. I mean, just how he's fallen off offensively has been stunning for me, especially when you watch him at practice and you see that skill set. And again, maybe if he can get the monkey off his back, he'll start to find his way. So those are the negative surprises. The positive surprise, I'll just quickly circle back to my most valuable player, Dustin Wolf. He's 23 years old, and he's in his first full season in the NHL, and 2 of the 3 people on this round table picked him as the midseason MVP. So that,
smart one.
That's been a very pleasant surprise, I'm sure, for him and for the Flames and for the fans.
I've been accused a lot of being a glass half full guy, so I'm going to pick a positive surprise this season, and that is Matt Coronato. I can't say with a straight face that I would have him tied for 3rd in scoring on the team. 10 goals, 12 assists for 22 points, and a team leading plus 10 in 36 games. We've talked a lot last season, this season early on, about what Matt Coronato's ceiling is. And for me, it was somewhere around a 25 to 30 goal guy, somewhere in that 50 to 60 point range. So for him as a rookie to be on pace for 21 goals and 47 points, and to hear his head coach a few weeks ago, Ryan Huska, think that he can be a point per game player in the NHL, it's tough to dispute with sort of what we've seen. And it's not just the goals, it's how he scores them, how he can find just that little bit of space in the offensive zone, and with that deceptive release, find spots that goalies just can't seem to cover or can't react quick enough to snapping that shot off of his stick. For me, I feel like I might have been underselling him at some point, because I always thought he was going to be a top 6 winger. But the fact that as a rookie he's on pace for 21 and 47, he's the pleasant surprise for me.
You know what? And I honorable mention to Megan Mickelson's nomination of Joel Hanley, because I sure as hell did not have Joel Hanley top four Flames defenseman on my bingo card, where we all thought he was the 8 on the depth chart entering the season. Didn't have that on my bingo card at all. And good on Joel Hanley for continuing to make it impossible for Ryan Huska to take him out of the lineup. So honorable mention there. But guys,
Mick sitting beside me in an Uber, so you made her smile, Patch. You can hear what you're saying.
Okay, good.
Say hi.
Hi,
say
Mick.
Hi to Megan and say hi to Dr. Ald.
Hi, all.
We're all in an Uber together.
Very nice. Guys, it's Huberto for me.
MVP.
I didn't see it coming. I really didn't. I mean, the way I thought, you know, maybe less pressure, even less pressure this year, less expectations, maybe. But like, it's not just that Huberto's been able to produce more and he's on pace for more points, and he had that month of December where he was really prolific. It's like, who he is. Who is this guy with more goals than assists? What player are we watching? This guy who is scoring all his goals from 4 feet from the crease. And, you know, this is not the Jonathan, this is not your grandfather's Jonathan Huberto. This is a new version of him that I didn't know was coming. And I give him all the credit in the world. The fact that he's 1-2 on our MVP ballots midseason, the fact that this guy has been nothing but a whipping boy in his first 2 years of time with the Flames, and now he's in the conversation for being the MVP, like, let's go. Good on him. And he changed his approach. He changed his mindset. He did things he didn't do before. He's doing things on the ice he's never done. He's completely turned himself into a new player, and he's one of their two best and most important players this year, at least according to the Daily Flames Roundtable. So I did not see this Jonathan Huberto coming in 100 years, and yet here he is. Good on him. It's a really awesome story to see what number 10's turned himself into.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, all of the players we've talked about, whether it be in the MVP conversation or on the pleasantly surprising conversation, are big reasons why the Flames are where they are, and that's by point percentage in the second wild card spot, and based on points, 1 point behind the Canucks for the second wild card in the Western Conference. So we'll see if they can use their game in hand tonight to move back into a playoff spot in both ways, and those guys that we've been talking about, they've been a huge part of the Flames' success, and most, I think, would say surprising success in the first half of the regular season.
Enjoy the rest of your Uber. Thank you, Wilsey.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
He's Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on this Monday edition of our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you this hour on the program. Monday edition of Flames Talk rolls on, and on Mondays we check in on the Calgary Wranglers, the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames since we last checked in last Monday. Wranglers with 5-2 and 7-2 losses over the weekend in Colorado. Wranglers now 23-12-1, still sitting first place in the Pacific Division in the American Hockey League. Let's go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and check in with one of our favorites. Marty Jelena joins us now on the bench with the Wranglers the last number of games. It's been a little bit of a shuffle with the coaching staff, and part of that is, for the time being, Marty on the bench, obviously in his development role most of the time, but on the bench here, and now joins us on the program right now. Hello, Mr. Jelena.
Hey, Pat. Thanks for having me, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. How and we'll get into the weekend and some of the specifics here in a little bit, but how's the transition back behind the bench gone?
You know, it's been a lot of fun. I got to admit, I felt the first few days I was on a treadmill, it was going really fast. I was just trying to keep up. It's amazing. It's been 4 years now, almost 4 years since I was behind the bench, and you kind of forget the amount of time and details and and time spent with the players on the ice, practice plan, development plans, and so on. There's lots involved. So, but it's been a lot, but it's been a lot of fun. The staff has been nothing but great. And the players have been really, and most of the players I work with, so it's been an easy transition that way.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, you've been in this development role for the last number of years, and a lot of the players on this Wranglers team, you're super familiar with. How much easier has that made the transition?
The transition is easier because you know the person, you know what they're capable of, you know what kind of person they are. You don't have to learn too much about them. So it's just more about learning about the being part of the system, part of the meetings, and my duty really changed from when I was with the Flames with power play and forwards to defense now and PK, which is totally different ballpark. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's actually after it's been over 2 weeks now, I wish I would have done that right from the start, PK and so on. I wish I would have started practically in the minors because I think it gives you a different perspective on the players and so on. So it's been a lot of fun, Pat.
As you mentioned, like working with, you know, you're a forward in your playing career. You worked with forwards when you were behind the Flames bench. What's it like working with the D right now?
You know what? I'm very fortunate. We got some great young defensemen. They're just they're eager to learn. You say something, they listen, and it's been a lot of fun. There's a couple of guys knocking on the door for, you know, eventually they'll get their call up and you want to be part of it. You want to help them. You want to develop them. And you want to help them grow to get to the next step in the NHL.
Just curious from your perspective, Marty, the difference you mentioned, you're in more of a development role in the American Hockey League versus the NHL, but what other differences are you seeing just on a day-to-day sort of basis with coaching in the American League versus the National Hockey League?
You know, his staff is a little bit bigger in the NHL. Responsibility are still the same, but there's just a little more hands-on. In the NHL, they're there for a reason. Is you want to help them to stay there, and you're there to not only to win, but to help the players grow. But you know, they're NHL or their caliber. We're in the American Hockey League. We're trying to develop them to help them to get to the next level. So it's a lot more hands on, a lot more one on one meetings because it's key for them to kind of see what they do and what needs to be done for them to get to the next level.
Does this role give you a little bit of a different perspective versus your development role? Like when you're looking at a player in particular where you're teaching them and coaching them day in, day out versus the developmental role, does it give you a little bit of a different perspective on a player?
100%. It does. You know, when you develop a player, you go and see them on the road for a couple of days, spend 2 or 3 days with them, talk to their coaches and so on, and then you'll probably see them again. I mean, you do watch them on film and you do watch their games and you talk to them constantly, but being day-to-day with the players, it's much different, and it gives you a different appreciation for what the players bring on a daily basis.
So with that in mind, if and when you do move back to a purely developmental role, does it give you some things to keep in the back pocket or maybe keep front of mind when dealing with certain players, whether you're trying to push them to be better in one area or another area?
Yeah, you know what? It really does. You know, it gives you the perspective that the AHL, it's a tough league, and it's our job to help our prospects, our junior college to develop. It does take time, but it's our job to make sure that we push them in the right way to be prepared for the AHL, which is a very good league.
We're chatting with Marty Jelena, who is behind the bench right now for the Calgary Wranglers, joining us here on Flames Talk on this Monday. Marty, kind of in that same vein, you go from working in development to working behind the bench. You've worked in development with Rory Karens before. You have a little bit of opportunity to work with Rory at the American League level on the bench. And now on this Monday night, he's making his NHL debut against Chicago. Just knowing that, you know, you've been involved with him right from the get-go, how cool is this from your perspective to see Rory debut?
It's awesome. You know, Rory, when you look at the potential from his junior days, he was one of the best point scorer in the OHL. Very, very skilled, very, very talented. Got to the AHL and had some ups and downs, so on. But his skill set and his hockey IQ is elite. We always kind of question his skating, but he finds a way to get there. From our development staff to see him playing in the NHL now, it feels really, really good.
What you talked about his skating, like, what has Rory done to be able to go from being a sixth round pick and then, you know, not an everyday guy in the American League, and now here he is leading the American League in goals, and he's making his NHL debut at the United Center. Like, how does a guy progress as rapidly as Rory has here?
Well, he had a skill set, and we talk about it, that is tremendous. He can see the next play. He can make the next play. Where he really made a big jump is last summer. He was challenged to really push himself off the ice and so on. And we challenge all our players, and some of them come back and they're in okay shape, and some of them come back, they're in great shape. But he committed himself off ice and came back in great physical condition. That allows him to play with more pace, to play longer, to go in the corner and be able to compete. It'll be interesting to see how he does in the NHL. It's a big, big step. But I really believe that with his hockey IQ and next play mentality, you'll do just fine.
Marty, do you get a sense of how intimidating it might be if you're telling somebody to make sure they come in to camp in shape? I've seen you on the bike even as recently as the last couple of months. Like, that's not a fair thing to ask a guy.
Well, you know what? I really believe that if physically you could be really talented, but if you can't physically compete with big guys in the NHL, they all skate, they're all capable of skating, they all have a good skill set. So that physical part is really, really important, and it takes time. It doesn't happen. It takes summers and summers of just training before you can get to that level. What I'm really excited about is for Rory to kind of get the feel for the next level. Hopefully he's able to stay there for a long time.
Marty, are you, now that you're back on the bench, are you bag skating healthy scratches again? Is that back in the?
You know what? I gotta say, this is my pride and joy. I do it, but I do it. But Brett Sutter, he's not afraid to push the guys, and he's doing a really, really good job. Really, really impressed with what he's bringing to the table. I really believe that he's. If he wants to, he could be a head coach one day. He's got that demeanor about him, respect from the players and so on. So, but he's not afraid to push down pretty hard on the ice too.
Nice. I did want to ask you with Brett Sutter, Mackenzie Skapski, and of course, head coach right now, Joe Cirella. Tell us about the guys you're working with and the relationship that's building there.
You know what? It's been, the transition is really easy. Joe Cirella has been doing a really, really good job. He's well respected from all the players. He's been around for a long, long time. So that was an easy transition. And Brad Pascal has done a really good job, really putting a good coaching staff together. But also, from Gord Farnell, Peter Bureau, and Graham, we got a great staff, and I give a lot of credit to Brad Pascal for putting good people in place. But the staff that we have right now, just they're easy to work with, very respectful, and it's actually been a lot of fun.
We're chatting with Marty Jelena. We're checking in on the Calgary Wranglers like we do every Monday here on Flames Talk. Hey, let's talk about the weekend. I know not the weekend that your group was looking for. Couple of losses in Colorado. Just how would you evaluate, sum up what happened in those two losses against the Eagles?
You know, when we play, we face a really good team. There's no question about it. But we're one of the best team in the AHL, just because we got some leadership, some veterans that can take place. Obviously, it hurts when you lose Rory and you lose some quality people along the way. But we faced a tough opponent. It was not our best weekend. Got away from structure. Tomorrow we'll be back on the ice and playing Rangers hockey.
You talk about it like you don't have Rory. You lose Devin Cooley in the game on Friday night, and so some adversity, and there has not been a ton of adversity this year. But you know, you have been around the guys, you've been around that locker room. Like, how confident are you that there's a team that responds positively to adversity?
You know what? I think we'll be just fine, and we've been doing all along. Obviously, it's interesting. When I got the card, the last game that we play against Colorado, I look at the card that Joe sent me and just kind of copy and went over his notes. And we had Peltier and Coronado Dewar. So it does hurt a little bit when all those guys move up. But we're happy for them, and this is why we're here for. Now it's for different guys to step up to the table, and they'll get an opportunity to do so. I believe that our leadership with Dryden Hunt and Clark Bishop, Martin Furk, Jared Tenorti, will make sure Alex Gallant will make sure that we're back on track tomorrow.
Marty, you mentioned earlier in this conversation, it's a little bit of a different perspective for you working with the defense. I'm just curious, in your time with the Wranglers, outside of the development role you have with the Flames, are there a couple of players on that blue line that are pushing or that have caught your eye on this stint of yours?
Well, Kuznetsov, there's no question. Soloviev are two that are really knocking on the door. We've still got some Jared Tenorti that is a veteran that has been around for a long time playing the NHL. But those two young guys are really making a big impression. They're learning to play a consistent game on a daily basis and just being efficient. Two different players, but a more defensive defenseman. Soloyov is just a big, strong guy, physical. Where Kuznetsov of late, I'm really, really impressed just the way he moves the puck, closes gaps in the defensive zone. He's got a good stick, and he's probably one of our fittest defensemen. So lots of good talent. Jeremy Poirier is another one that is learning how to play the game on the defensive side. Hunter Brew is also a guy that's learning the defensive side, very, very much some upside defensively with their skill set. They can see the ice. They can make plays. Really happy with them on the power play. And there's two guys, too, that are right there with their skill set. It might take a little bit of time, but they're slowly getting there, and they'll take that next step eventually.
From your perspective, whether it was from your playing days or your development days or your coaching days, what's the difference or what's the trick from becoming a really strong AHL defenseman to becoming a full-time NHL one?
You know what? Players in the NHL, it's an exploit mentality. They know exactly where they're going to go with the puck. The puck stick to their blade. They can make a hard pass in tight. They can make good plays and so on. And you only in their junior, when you think about players, our defensemen or any prospects in juniors, it is hard for them to get some quality habits just because they play 28, 29, 30 minutes. They play a lot of minutes. They pace themselves and so on. Where in the NHL, in the AHL, there's no pacing. There's enough good defensemen. So the amount of time they're on the ice, it's got to be quality times. For me, it's next play mentality. It's able to make passes tape to tape, And for an offensive defenseman like Poirier and Brew, it's jumping into play, being in the offense and finding lanes to get that puck to the net. So the next step is even faster in the NHL, but the AHL is a great stepping stone to get there.
I do want to ask you about Bruce Stevich because you mentioned him a couple of times there, and I know his book on being in the organization hasn't been being written for too long now, coming to the organization last January. But what's your impression of him? Is you mentioned he's one of those guys that's used to playing 30 minutes a night with the Kitchener Rangers in the Ontario Hockey League to being a first-year pro trying to learn the ins and outs of the American League.
Yeah, he's learning that. He's taking steps, and I was really impressed with him. Last game, I thought he was our best defenseman, closing quicker and making plays in tight and so on. And for Brew is to play with pace, and it's to move the puck with purpose and knowing when to jump and so on. And he's doing this, and he needs to keep doing it on a consistent basis. But he's got all the tools. Him and Poirier have all the tools to make it happen.
Marty, got two games at home this week. You got Tucson on Tuesday and Wednesday. To wrap it up, you talked about how you're going to get back to playing Wranglers hockey as you're back on home ice. Just tell us about the importance of these next two games.
Well, they're important. They're all important. And then for us, we just got to get back to being simple, playing hard, being efficient. And for us, it started by good D-zone coverage. Five in the picture and closing quick. And when we do that, we can move the other way and transition. And when we do that, we put pucks behind and go to work. You know, we have a little bit of a different team than we did earlier in the year, and we got to play a little differently. And this is what we're going to be doing tomorrow, is just good defense will lead to good offense.
Marty, it was awesome to catch up with you, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon, and good luck this week at home against Tucson, eh?
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey.
Have a great day.
Awesome to have you, Marty. Marty Jelena of the Flames. He is on that Wranglers bench right now in the American League and, of course, still a member of the Flames development squad. And he joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home. Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344.
Still looks like he can play. Like, there's one guy I would not want to be caught with my head down walking down the bowels of the Saddle Dome. It's Marty.
That guy.
It's silly.
Like, the amount that he works out.
His calves are still as big as you think they are.
Yeah. Stupid how hard and much that guy works.
If I ever needed calf implants, I probably do. But if I ever were to go get them.
There's one guy who needs calf implants in this conversation. It's not you.
Touche. But Marty's calves would be the, just take a picture of those. This is what I want. Here we go.
Yep. Hey, bro. Those things real?
You can't ask me that. You legally can't ask me that.
Johnny Drama, baby. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Shan Vergy, our outstanding producers, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to calgarylockandsafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.